Testing, 1, 2, testing. Diane, it's 8 a.m., Seattle, Washington. As you have no doubt surmised by the clarity of this tape, I purchased a new Micromac pocket tape recorder, the Big Little Recorder, at Wally's Rent-to-Own, 1145 North Hilltop, where, as the sign says, a bargain is a bargain, no matter what the cost. For $21.89 cash. I decided to pass on the rent-to-own option, Diane. Leasing may be the fast track to an appearance of affluence, but equity will keep you warm at night. I have no doubt that this new model will prove to be an extremely useful tool in the investigatory process, where the most fleeting insight can be lost if your hardware isn't as solid as you're thinking. I have two stops to make, Diane. Woe's House of Cloth, where I'm picking up a new black suit, upping my total to 5, one for each day of the week, presuming I don't have to work weekends. Frequently not a safe assumption. $199.99, including alterations. Second stop, the Regional Bureau Office to pick up some files. Although I have wrapped up the Fiber Sample Procedures seminar I came here to conduct, it looks like I'll be heading east on a new case instead of back to Philadelphia. We'll fill you in on the details after I've been briefed. Diane, 9 a.m. Preparing to board flight 210. Commuter flight, 15-seater. Arriving in Spokane at 10:15 a.m. One meal, breakfast. Eggs, sausage, toast, jam, juice, and the usual coffee-scented hot water. What airlines do to coffee shouldn't happen to a dog. So I'm packing a hot thermos from the commissary. Case number is 11219er. You'll have a copy of the file on your desk by the time you receive this. Victim, 17-year-old white female, dead, bound, and wrapped in plastic. Cause of death, unknown. Says here she was the homecoming queen. Second victim discovered alive was found across the state line, which is why it's our business now. Suspects are in custody. We'll assess their value upon arrival. Diane, I understand the air is so clear out where I'm going that you can see across two states when it's not raining, which is most of the time. So I've packed a pair of the businessman's friend. Totes for the feet. I've been scanning active files for the region. Note possible correlation to a murder last year of one Teresa Banks in the southwest corner of the state. Had all the trappings of a serial killing, except for one, a second body. Maybe this is it. Teresa Banks died a year ago, almost to the day. Diane, airborne, at what the pilot unintelligibly assures us is 17,000 feet. dozed through breakfast, and for obvious reasons am now awake. From the remains on the man's tray across the aisle, my stab at the menu was on the money, except they served bacon instead of sausage. Should be on the ground in 30 minutes, which will be about the time I empty my thermos, although the pilot did mention something about a storm front up ahead. Of course, statistically, when encountering weather aloft, the odds are in your favor in a smaller plane. Diane, time at this moment seems of little importance. If by chance we should not pass through this incredible maelstrom, you will find instructions for the disposition of my worldly goods and my remains, should there be any, filed under things to come. Diane, 10:30 a.m. Back on solid ground. I should say solid asphalt. I'm on my hands and knees in the parking lot of the branch office in Spokane. I'm picking up a bureau car.
No, I'm all right. Just thankful to be alive.
Looks like I'll be heading out Highway 2 due east. I've got about 2 hours of driving ahead of me that'll include lunch, one pit stop, and 2 cups of coffee, unless I refill my thermos. And Diane, for the last 15 miles, I'm supposed to look out for deer on the highway. Man, wouldn't that be something?
Diane, 11:30 a.m., February 24th. Entering the town of Twin Peaks. It's 5 miles south of the Canadian border, 12 miles west of the state line. I've never seen so many trees in my life. As W.C. Fields would say, I'd rather be here than Philadelphia. 54 degrees on a slightly overcast day. Weatherman said rain. You could get paid that kind of money for being wrong 60% of the time. It'd be working. Mileage is 79,345, gauge is on reserve, riding on fumes here. I got to tank up when I get into town. Remind me to tell you how much that is. Lunch was $6.31 at the Lamplighter Inn. That's on Highway 2 near Lewis Fork. That was a tuna fish sandwich on whole wheat, slice of cherry pie, and a cup of coffee. Damn good food. And Diane, if you ever get up this way, that cherry pie is worth a stop. Okay. I'll be meeting up with the Sheriff Harry S. Truman. Shouldn't be too hard to remember that. He'll be at the Calhoun Memorial Hospital. Guess we're going to go up to intensive care and take a look at that girl that crawled down the railroad tracks off the mountain. When I finish here, I'll be checking into a motel. I'm sure the sheriff will be able to recommend a clean place, reasonably priced. That's what I need. A clean place, reasonably priced. Oh, Diane, I almost forgot. Got to find out what kind of trees these are. They're really something.
Diane, 3:10 p.m. Walking out of the elevator on the second floor of Calhoun Memorial Hospital, Twin Peaks. And if I'm not mistaken, the man approaching me wearing the gun will be Sheriff Harry S. Truman.
I'm at the Twin Peaks County Morgue with the body of the victim. What's her name?
Laura Palmer.
Laura Palmer. I got here before the autopsy. Diane, it's the same thing. I told you I had a feeling we'd see this again.
What do you got here?
Ring finger, under the nail. Let's see what he left us. It's an R. Diane, give this to Albert and his team. Don't go to Sam. Albert seems to have a little more on the ball. We need to bag and tag this.
Okay, Cooper. You're gonna let me in on whatever the hell is going on here?
Sheriff, we got a lot to talk about. Diane, I just opened Laura Palmer's diary. This is the last entry dated February 23rd. It reads, asparagus for dinner again. I hate asparagus.
Does this mean I'll never grow up? And then she's written, nervous about meeting Jay tonight. That's the letter J, Diane. J. And that is the last entry. Well, that's something to get started on.
Yeah, that's one out of 26.
Diane, I've just turned back 18 days to day one. What we have taped to the page here is a plastic envelope containing a white residue and what looks to be a key to a safety deposit box. Sheriff, after you very carefully remove this key, we're going to run this envelope. And my bet is it'll test positive for cocaine.
This is impossible.
You ever been surprised before?
Mr. Cooper, you didn't know Laura Palmer.
Let's get started on a court order to open that safety deposit box, and maybe we'll both find out a few things about Laura Palmer. Diane, I'm holding in my hand a small box of chocolate bunnies.
Diane, 9:30 p.m. Night has fallen hard in Twin Peaks. You're not going to believe this, but I'm actually looking at the Milky Way, which I can't recall seeing before in quite this extraordinary way. The night is painted with stars. I've just finished addressing the local citizenry on the need for caution and pulling together at a time like this. Have a list of people I'm going to want some background checks on, including a lady who carries a log. They call her the Log Lady. One suspect remains at large, James Hurley, a young biker who was secretly seeing Laura behind her boyfriend's back, a blowhard named Bobby Briggs. I anticipate that James will be in custody within the hour and probably released shortly thereafter. Serial killers don't kill their girlfriends. They prefer the company of strangers. He's out there somewhere, Diane. But a town like this is like a river. Lots of hidden currents and eddies, concealing their own secrets. I haven't even broken the surface yet. Diane, 12:28 a.m. Looks like I'll be staying locally at a place called the Great Northern Hotel. Sheriff's getting me a rate. Sounds like the kind of place where when you lie down, you won't forget to dream. I was right about our suspect, James Hurley. He's in custody and will be out by morning. Good night, Lucy.
Good night, Agent Cooper. By the way, the Great Northern is up on Metal Arc Hill. Well, that's just below Whitetail Mountain. That's a little bit west of here, but not too far west.
Diane, if you could bottle this air, people would line up around the block, cash in hand. Somebody, although probably not me, could make a fortune. But isn't that always the way?
Diane, 6:18 a.m., room 315. Great Northern Hotel up here in Twin Peaks. Slept pretty well. Non-smoking room, there's no tobacco smell. It's a nice consideration for the business traveler. A hint of Douglas fir needles in the air. As Sheriff Truman indicated they would, everything this hotel promised, they've delivered. Clean, reasonably priced accommodations. Telephone works, bathroom in really tip-top shape, no drips, plenty of hot water, and good steady pressure. That could be a side benefit of the waterfall outside my window. Mattress firm, but not too firm, and no lumps, like that time I told you about down in El Paso. What a nightmare that was. But of course, you've heard me tell that story once or twice, haven't you, Diane? Haven't tried the television set yet. Looks like cable, probably no reception problems. But the true test of any hotel, as you well know, Diane, is that morning cup of coffee, which I'll be getting back to you about within a half hour. Diane, it struck me again earlier this morning. There are two things that continue to trouble me, and I'm speaking now not only as an agent of the Bureau, but also as a human being. What really went on between Marilyn Monroe and the Kennedys?
And who really pulled the trigger on JFK?
Diane, 11 a.m. We've just released James Hurley into the custody of his uncle, Big Ed Hurley, owner of Big Ed's gas farm. James was with Laura Palmer approximately 2 hours before she died and knows more than he's saying. But who couldn't you say that about in the final analysis? One more thing, Diane. Yesterday, a large group of Norwegians simultaneously checked out of the Great Northern Hotel. This is either a strange example of the herding instinct exhibited by animals like the common lemming of their native tundra, or something scared them off. Diane, 11:17 a.m. I'm standing on the spot where Laura Palmer's body washed ashore. The large remains of a Douglas fir lies on the beach here, a victim of a storm or other calamity some 50 years past. The sheriff has introduced me to the owner of the lumber mill, Josie Packard, a visitor from the Far East and a woman of uncommon beauty. The ownership of the mill passed into her hands a year and a half ago when her husband died in a boating accident. She and the sheriff have been seeing each other, something I suspected from their body language that the sheriff subsequently confirmed. These appear to be random events, unrelated at this time, so naturally, they bear watching. Oh, Diane, never drink coffee that has been anywhere near a fish. Diane, 7 p.m., the Double R Diner. This must be where pies go when they die. Diane, tomorrow I'll take Harry and the gang on a rock-throwing trip to Tibet. But first, another piece of this heavenly pie. Diane, 11:30 p.m., Great Northern Hotel, room 315. Events converge. The theory of concentric thinking. There may, in fact, be no such thing as coincidence. While generally a man missing a limb is not in and of itself strange for a hospital, Deputy Hawk reports seeing a one-armed man outside of intensive care. A note. 5x7 envelope, cream-colored, and scented with an expensively priced perfume, was slipped underneath my door. It said, Jack with one eye. Now to sleep, perchance to dream.
Diane, 6 a.m. Please add the following sound to my master tape labeled Sounds. Canadian geese, Diane.
Oh!
I think I've been spotted. Diane, 1:18 a.m. Long day. Turning in. Albert Rosenfield has arrived, and with his usual charm, has completely won over the local population, as Sherman did in Atlanta. He should have something for us by morning. Oh, Diane, the air here is as fresh and crisp as a cracker. You don't sleep, you slumber. I'm setting my alarm for 6:15. Good night, Diane.
Diane, 10:25 a.m., Twin Peaks County Morgue. Upon the completion of Laura's autopsy, Sheriff Truman and Albert Rosenfield entered into a heated discussion, at the end of which Sheriff Truman punched Albert in the nose. I can't say I didn't see it coming. Diane, let's face the music. Albert Rosenfield has not changed. Since arriving in Twin Peaks, his actions here have been, as usual, callous and insensitive. You'd better prepare the appropriate paperwork for action unbecoming a field officer, as I suspect Albert will attempt to file charges against Sheriff Truman, and I intend to defend Harry to the utmost of my ability. Diane, in 3 hours, Twin Peaks buries a young girl. I'm looking at her face. Death is seldom kind and never fair. I know that good is stronger than evil, and yet sometimes it's difficult to see it, even in a place like Twin Peaks. Diane, it's 12:27 p.m. Albert and his team, their work complete, are headed back to the lab. Doc Hayward says the swelling around Albert's eye will go down within a couple of days. As for the rest of Albert, he sees no chance for recovery. Albert's preliminary results on Laura are as follows. Toxicology report, positive for cocaine. Two different types of twine were used to tie her wrists and upper arms. The plastic fragment found in her stomach appears to have the letter J printed on it. The wounds on Laura's shoulder were made by some kind of an animal, possibly a bird. Diane, 12:01 a.m. Black Lake Cemetery. A new day for all but the dead. Sorry, folks. In the recorded history of man's organized attempts to civilize this planet, and more specifically their communities, men have always formed groups, clubs, or societies, often cloaked in secrecy, to protect and preserve certain elements within their social structure. Twin Peaks is no different. Sheriff Truman, Hawk, Big Ed, James Hurley, and others unknown to me have taken up that mantle. They call themselves the Bookhouse Boys. Defenders in what appears to be an age-old fight against a kind of darkness in the woods surrounding this town. This is clearly a place that inspires dreaming about darkness and light. And who knows what dreams are real? Deputy Hawk spoke tonight of a soul that wanders, a dream soul, a Blackfoot legend. With her burial today, I hope Laura's spirit finds more peace wherever it is now than it did in its brief time on this earth.